This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All right, 8:43. Gary Chico, for some reason, wants to be the mayor. He doesn't have a big enough headache on his hand, and he joins us in studio now. Good morning to you.
Hi, Steve. How are you? Good
nice
to be
to
with
see you. Listen, anybody that wants this job is taking on a lot, and unfortunately, I got to hit you with a topical question right away. How in God's name
did he... Is he drinking decaf coffee?
That's not the one.
Okay.
How does any alderman stand up and go, hey, we're family, and family doesn't talk about other people, so why anybody wearing a wire? Yeah, that's not what we do. I'm just outraged.
Good impression, by the way.
Yeah, well, I used to be in the mob. I can't believe that attitude. I mean, that's the thing you're going to have to clean up.
Yeah, I think the citizens are getting pretty fed up with what they're seeing, which is why I called for two very dramatic changes in the way we do business. One, I want to end the principle of aldermanic prerogative. I don't want any one alderman having unilateral power to decide the fate of a project as small as a permit and as large as the Lincoln Yards or Community 78. I think that's wrong. We need professional scrutiny of these matters. You can certainly incorporate the community's opinion, but you have to take all of that power out of one
person. How do you take it away?
We could change the laws.
But you got to get those that benefit from the laws to vote for the new law.
Well, I think people expect this kind of change, to be honest.
So we need public pressure.
Absolutely. And by the way, I'm going to call for a fairly dramatic change to the way we do business here. I want to put some of these things on binding referendum. I don't expect the city council is going to take these initiatives
on
their own.
Hold on.
I got another one for you. As long as we're talking about tough things to do. I want to ban all outside income. You're going to be an alderman in this city. Mm. That's all you're going to do.
I like that.
You're going to make $120,000. This isn't chump change, by the way.
No, you can live on that. Absolutely.
$120,000 a year, all you do is the work for the people of Chicago.
Right.
If I win the mayor's office in Chicago, I will only do that job and take no other income.
That's the way it should be.
Absolutely. But those are not going to be easy things to do.
We
may need a referendum to make it happen.
Every year, we sign a compliance agreement, as corporations have these all over the place. And the compliance agreement says, if you make a nickel outside of the money we pay you, you need to disclose it to us.
Sure.
And then we get to decide if it's something that's contradictory to what happens. That's what the agreement we make for taking the job. It's the least a public servant could do.
I like it. I think it's a good idea. You know, we have a certain amount of disclosures right now, but they never really go far enough. And so people really don't have a sense of what you're doing if you're in government right now. And so I think there's an awful lot of room for improvement.
I like it.
I've recommended these two changes. I think we may need a ballot initiative that's binding by the citizens
totally
of this
agree.
People to make it happen.
Yeah, the public is needed. And the thing is, you won't get any Christmas cards from the aldermen, but you're probably fine in that area anyway.
Look, we're not supposed to. We can be friends. We're supposed to be professional colleagues doing the work of the people of this city.
Yeah, what a crazy idea.
Mr. Chico, one alderman in particular, Alderman Burke, who's had a lot of trouble in the past couple months here, has endorsed you for mayor. What does that mean? What is your relationship with Alderman Burke? And is that a good thing to have someone who is under federal investigation to be endorsing you for mayor?
I've made no secret that I've known Alderman Burke for a long time. I grew up on the southwest side of the city, and he's been a fixture there for decades. When we say he's endorsed me, I've said to people, look, I've had people every day come up to me in this city, people known and unknown, saying you're the most qualified person to be mayor in this city based on what you've done for the city over the years. That's what Alderman Burke said. I think we stand on our own two feet, each of the candidates in this race. And you see this happening to this one, this happening to that one. We stand on our own two feet and our own records. I'm proud of the record of delivering results for the citizens of this city, whether I've been in the mayor's office before, the Chicago Public Schools, Chicago Park District, the State Board of Education, and the Chicago City Colleges. You keep your eye on the ball, you do the work for the citizens, and you move on.
You've had a tremendous, there's no doubt looking at your resume from Mayor Daley to Mayor, to like you said, working for different departments. My question, we were just discussing this last hour. Right now, what you see with what's happening with the scandal around Alderman Burke and the names that are running for office, that is there a chance that the voters may say, you know what, it's time for someone else? We've seen these names before. We've seen names like Preckwinkle, Mendoza, Chico.
And Chico hasn't been elected to anything. Let's be clear.
He's run for a couple things. But the question is, how do you distance yourself? Or if there is going to be that sentiment in Chicago this time around, how do you make sure that you're not grouped in with those names?
Well, I trust the voters. I think the voters are smart, and they can see through what's going on here. I haven't been elected to anything. All I've done is answer the call when asked to serve. I want to do that again. and I hope to have the support of the citizens of this city.
And I want to get to why you want to be mayor, but Pat Brady's here. I know you've known Pat off and on through the years, and I thought Pat brought up a good question. Well, listen, judgment could be a part of this race. Pat had a good thought off the air that I thought he should
bring up. Been a fan a long time, Mr. Chico. We talk all about these things that are important, the reform, the corruption. What's your economic growth agenda for the city? Because that, to me, is the biggest.
And before you get to that answer, the backstory on the question was we had a lot of people leaving Chicago.
Sure.
People leaving Illinois, which spurred the question.
Sure. And it's tragic that we have to be the largest city in America losing population. But it's not just losing population. Our schools have lost 80,000 students in enrollment. It's cost us a fortune.
Sure.
We have a built-in fixed cost of buildings, even staff.
Mm-hmm.
And with 80,000 students down, that's cost us about $500 million in revenue.
It's incredible.
To Pat's question about what we do to for economic development in Chicago, we need to rebuild the city. We are carrying this program forward, running the city of Chicago, with massive parts of the city that have had no investment for 5 decades. That's ridiculous. We have to go to the west side of Chicago, the south side of Chicago, and rebuild these communities. How do you do it? Big and small. Let's take some commercial strips. I was out on East 79th Street just a few weeks ago. Vacancy, 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 vacancy. How are you going to run the operation of the city of Chicago with all of that property sitting there vacant? If we can come up with $2.3 billion, cobble that together to lure Amazon, the richest company on the face of the earth, we can come up with a fraction of that to help entrepreneurs get started in our storefronts. Is it going to be 100% that every one of them successful? No. Can we give them a good start and hope that we get a coffee shop, a clothing store? I mean, this is what's got to be done on a smaller scale. Every one of these commercial strips should be brought back to life. And if you think it can't happen, look at, I was on Devon Avenue last night. Leaving at 9, 10 o'clock at night. That street's lit up. Every store is open. The restaurants are flourishing. That's Devon Avenue, not Michigan Avenue.
Right.
We can take that principle and bring it to the other parts of the city.
Stand by. More in a moment. By the way, the website for the campaign is?
ChicoForMayor.com.
All right. And F-O-R, not the number. Chico, F-O-R.
F-O-R.
Okay,
F-O-R.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Gary Chico's here, wants to be the next mayor of the city of Chicago. And, Pat, mention that Lincoln Forum initiative you guys are doing with the debate.
Yeah, a big debate February 7th, top five. I assume Mr. Chico will be there at the it's at the Union League Club, moderated by Mike Flannery. So we're going to narrow the field to get probably a better debate and hopefully talk about these economic development issues.
I think that'll be great. We're averaging almost a forum a night, sometimes two a day. But it's healthy. That means the people want to know what the candidates can offer, and they're concerned about their city.
Do you wake up in the middle of the night answering questions about issues?
My wife asked me about that the other day.
Sit up in a cold sweat, and suddenly you're answering a question that nobody asked?
Yeah. That does happen. It does.
All right. So I've asked every candidate this that comes through, and I'll continue to ask it, because what happens is all these big-picture ideas are great, and they all need to be addressed. But realistically, you can't look at 8 years. You got to look at four. What can you get done in 4 years?
If you look at my record, when I went to the Chicago Public Schools, it was in dire shape in 1995. It's $1.3 billion projected in debt. The teachers and management were constantly fighting. The buildings were falling apart, as chronicled by the Sun-Times, and the academic performance was awful.
Mm-hmm.
In a matter of 2 years, Bill Clinton called it a model for the nation. What did we do? We established labor peace with teachers at not a runaway cost. We rebuilt the physical stock of the buildings. We brought back academic performance where it actually counted again. We raised it 6 years in a row, and the finances were totally repaired. What was in the beginning a $1.3 billion deficit when I left in 2001 was a $345 million surplus. This can be done. You have to have the experience. You have to know where to cut. You have to know where to generate, and you got to know how to get people incorporated behind the program.
Yeah, you have to actually be able to make deals, and we've never lived in a more I'm right, you're wrong type of society. How do you break that wall?
It's been my experience. I work with people. I reached out to the head of the teachers union in those days, a very nice man named Tom Reese, and we forged agreements because we realized that was what was really important. Obviously, his members' interests were important, but it's the families and the students of this city. If they don't feel they're getting served, not much else matters. Mm-hmm. I've had a history of reaching across aisles, reaching across interest groups to bring people together to make this city better, and I'm ready to do it again.
I hope I get this right. Didn't you broker a big peace deal up in a northern county not too long ago?
When I was chairman of the State Board of Education, I was dispatched up to Waukegan that was incurring about a 20-21 day strike In about 3 hours, we had it resolved.
I'm going to send you to the Middle East.
Mr. Chico, when it comes to CPS, and you talk about that takeover, and it's so famous in Chicago history, but on this campaign trail, we've heard a lot of different candidates talk about a need to rebuild or kind of blow up CPS and start anew. Where are you at with the Chicago Public Schools as it stands today?
Well, I wouldn't blow it up. I don't think it's that bad. I think Janice Jackson and Frank Clark have done a nice job in steering the school system. I think they're good people that mean well. I think there's clearly improvements that need to be made. Every year counts. You can't take a year off. When I left the Chicago Public Schools, the teacher pension fund was 100% funded. 100%. That doesn't mean you take a break for the next 5 years. Every year you analyze what's required to invest in the pension fund, how their performance did, etc. But now the issue is this. Parents across the city don't feel they have easy access to an education opportunity that's excellent. And I want to bring that back. When I was there, we started so much of the renaissance of the Chicago Public Schools, building 74 new buildings, including Northside Prep, Jones, Peyton, and Gwendolyn Brooks, to be added to Whitney Young and Lane. Mm-hmm. That's kept thousands of families in this city. Now we have to go. I've called for the largest expansion of vocational and technical education because not everybody's going to a four-year college.
Yeah, but would you disagree with CPS closing the schools that they did back in 2011?
I don't like the way it was done. I think it was too many at one time. And most importantly, and most egregious in my view, is we didn't do anything with the buildings once they were closed. You could have put affordable housing in there. You could have put mental health facilities, retail, all kinds of uses.
And better communication with the communities that are losing.
Absolutely. Those were done unilaterally, Steve. You can't do these things unilaterally. You need to talk to people.
It's if you're going to take something away in a community, you got to tell people what you're going to do instead of that.
Especially as important as a school that's been there for 100 years.
Yeah, with family, my generation, my dad's generation, all of it.
Look, I went to the public schools. My parents went to the public schools. My kids went to the public schools. This is in our blood. You can't just strip us of it overnight. There's got to be conversation. There's got to be reasoning about why we're doing things. Look, we have 150,000 extra seats right now than what we need because that's how many students we've lost. I want to rebuild that student population. I think that'll show us that we're appealing to the parents of this city, and it'll also make us revenue from the state aid formula. We can get this back on track and make people believe again that the public schools can work for them and their families.
We're going to quickly run out of time here. There's a big question that doesn't always have an easy answer, and that's, is it faster to find money by cutting and taking care of bloat that's already there, or by doing things right that haven't been done right before, and the money will come in? What's the answer for Chicago?
All the above. You cannot.
Which side?
You have to generate revenue, okay? That's the first order of business. We've called for a casino.
You can't cut your way to success.
No, there's not enough there. You won't be able to do it. But it's part of the equation. I've called for a casino in Chicago that the city owns, be regulated by the state gaming board.
Where would you put it?
Pardon me?
Where would you put it?
Oh, I think there's a number of places, but the southeast side of Chicago isn't a bad place to do competitive battle right next to the horseshoe and help that community out that needs some economic development.
That's going to be up this session, right?
It's going to be up this session, but Chicago needs to have a front and center seat at the table to make sure that we're the owner and that we get the revenue projection out of it we expect. Legalized marijuana generates revenue. As reassessing these skyscrapers, commercial office space skyscrapers, needs to be done fairly. We're losing hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars of assessed value that should be going into our treasury. It's wrong. I also want to eliminate waste. The Infrastructure Trust, $2 million a year, hasn't done anything in 7 years. Put the money back into mental health. I've called for the elimination of the clerk and the treasurer's office. Let's face it, all those things are launching pads for politicians. We need to incorporate those into the government. You don't need to have a clerk's office to get a city sticker.
No.
Get it off a software program. The treasurer's office folded into the finance department and have legitimate auditors audit our funds. That's all we need. By the way, that's probably $150 million in savings over the last 7-8 years right there.
I feel like you're Kevin Kline and Dave. You didn't even have the legal pad out. You just found $150 million.
My secret weapon is Maury, if you remember that movie, the guy with the legal pad who couldn't figure out the federal budget.
Justin, last question.
You know, a lot of these candidates are running because they don't like where the city is at, and they're running an anti-Rahm Emanuel campaign. Mm-hmm. Are you running an anti-Rahm Emanuel campaign?
No, I'm running a pro campaign for Chicago. I'm the eternal optimist. I grew up in this city. My parents grew up in this city. My grandfather was in this city, and my kids are in this city. I saw what it could perform, how it could perform, and the opportunity it could make for people. We just need to take that and make it available to everybody. Every part of this city needs to be brought into what's going to be our future. I'm optimistic. I've seen this before from my, because I've experienced turnaround before, like CPS, like the city colleges, and even at the State Board of Education. We started a rewrite of the education funding formula that brought hundreds of millions more into CPS. This can be done, and I believe I have the experience and leadership to do it.
We'll talk to you again before the big day. Good luck with waking up in the middle of the night.
Thank you.
And appreciate you coming over.
Thank you, guys.
Website again.
ChicoForMayor.com.
ChicoForMayor.com.